Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Beit. And the last thing that we learned on Kuf Aleph on the Beit was the Rav's approach to Moshe Rabbeinu that he had a din of a Kohen. So we're up to, I think, Meisve. So the Gemara asks on Rav, how can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Kohen? If we take a look at this braita, and it seems to say exactly not like that. This, we're on the last word of the second line of the big lines here. So, Meisve, if you're going to tell, yesterday we answered the, I don't think we got up to there. Yeah. I think this is where we're up to. So remember that when we were talking about a Balmum, we brought the Pasuk that he is allowed to eat both from Kachim Kachim and from Kachim Kali. Now this Braita asks why we need to mention both. Im Nemru Kachim Kachim, Nama Nemru Kachim Kali, Vim Nemru Kachim Kali, Nama Nemru Kachim Kachim. What is the point of mentioning separately Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kachim? I mean, you'd think that if you mention that a Balmum is allowed to eat even from Kachim Kachim, it's pretty clear that he can eat from Kachim Kalim. No? No. Because I'll tell you why. Ilulo Nemar Kachim Kalim. Let's say I wouldn't have said that. I would have said, okay, a Balmum can eat from Kachim Kachim. You know why? Because once upon a time, the Torah was Matir Kachim Kachim to a Tzar, besides allowing it to them. So that makes sense. But Kachim Kalim, the Torah never was matir to a Tzar, and therefore they can't eat Kachim Kalim. And let's say it would have not mentioned Kachim Kalim, I would have thought, okay, Kachim Kalim are not as chomer. That would explain why a Balmum were not matpin on to not share Kachim Kalim with him. But Kachim Kalim is too Kodesh. That's why I have to say Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kalim. Okay. But anyway, what's important to us is note that the Braita says there was some point in time where Kachim Kachim were given to a non-Kohen. I can't think of any time like that unless we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because since Moshe Rabbeinu ate Kachim Kachim specifically, there were no Kachim Kalim during the Miluim. So since he was given Kachim Kachim to eat during the Miluim, so that's why we would think that maybe that's why we'll be makel on a Balmum to eat Kachim Kachim l'doros. But anyway, but meanwhile, it's clearly saying that Moshe is not a Kohen. It says that it was Rutu Lazar. No, said Rav Sheshes. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to a Tzar being allowed to do the Aveda and eat the Kachim Kachim even on a Bama. That's what it's referring to. Where is that? I thought only the types of korbanas that are nidar v'nidav can be brought on a bama, as a bama's yochid. And therefore, there is no kachim kachim to be eaten. The only thing that's nidar v'nidav would be an oila, but there's no meat to eat, or shlomim and teda and so on, but those are kachim kalim. So where was there kachim kachim on a bama? Ah, according to the Mandi Omer, who holds yesh mincha bevama, so the people that would do the Avodah on a Bama and would eat on the Bama were Zorim. You did not have to be a Kohen. There was no din of Kohen on a Bama. And therefore, it doesn't have to be referring to Moshe. So that's not a kasha on Rav. Okay, well, what about this Braita? This Braita is a kasha on Rav. Rav holds that Moshe was a Kohen. And this Braita asks, Miriam, mihis gira. So when Miriam got Tzara'at, it says that she was Tmeya with Tzara'as, but in order to be Tmeya with Tzara'as, there needs to be a Kohen that declares what it is that you have as being Tzara'at. And that has to be a Kohen, and there was no Kohen. Who was Mazkir Miriam? Moshe? Moshe wasn't the Kohen. So Im Tomar Moshe is Gira, Moshe Zaraya. So how could he be Mazkir? The ain Zaro et Hanegayim, only a Kohen is Roa es Hanegayim. So it can't be Moshe. Was it maybe Aaron? Can't be Aaron. Aaron was a relative. The ain Karov Roa et Hanegayim. Elar kavod gadol chalakla kadosh baruch hu lemiriam otasha'a. The only coin that was available was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm a coin. And I am now anyway. So I'm a coin. And therefore I will be Roya Hernega, I will be Mazgir Hernega, I will be Machlit Hernega, and I will also Potra. I will be Cholta and Potra. I'll say that the Nega is kosher, and at the end of the 7 days she'll be okay. Anyway, meanwhile, what does it say over here? That Moshe can't be Roya the Nega. Why not? Because it says Moshe is Zaru, Vein Zaru et Anegaim. So what do you want? Says clearly not like Rav, who claims that Moshe was a Kohen. And here it says Moshe was a Zar. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, no, this is not Akasha on Rav. Now this is actually, if you recall, a Yesod that we've spoken about many, many times in Chumash, in the Inyan, of the early introduction of the Big Day Kahuna, where there wasn't even a choice of a Kohen, and yet there was a din of Aaron, and Aaron's hadlaka, and so on. So what we tied it was that there's a special halacha of Aaron, even if Aaron isn't a Kohen. Now here we have actually the opposite. There's a special halacha of Aaron, even though Aaron is a Kohen, that the din of Maariz Negayim is not coming from the din of Kahuna. It's coming from the fact that it's Aaron Ubanav. That's the point, because that's what it says in the pasuk. Shine Marot Negayim, Marot Negayim are unique. Because what does it say over there? Vehaya, the orbis orola negat zorat, vuhuva el aharona koenu el achat bipadava kohanim. So then that means it's not going to help you. You may have a din of a Kohen. Are you Aaron? No. Are you achat bipadav? No. Okay, so then Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to be Roya Sanegayim. So vis-a-vis this point, he's like a czar, even though he is a Kohen, as far as what Rav tainted that he had a din of a Kohen. Okay, I have another kash on you. Meitve, you claim that Moshe was a Kohen, Rav. But here it says in the Braita, Chamesh Smachot Haita Elisheva Yetera Benot Israel. On that Yom Shmini Bimiluim, the happiest woman in the world should have been Elisheva, was the Achot Nachshon Ben Aminadav. This was the day, after all, Shmini Ben Aminadav was the day of Nachshon Ben Aminadav's own korban in the Chanukat HaMizbeach, and she was the wife of Aaron HaKoyen. She was the sister-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's add up how this woman is on the top of the world. So here she is. She's got a brother-in-law who's the melech, because Moshe Rabbeinu had a dinner of a melech, Vayi Bishun melech, and her husband is the Kohen Gadol, and her son Elazar was the Segan Kohen Gadol, and Elazar's son Pinchas, her grandson, is a Mashuach Mochama, and her brother Nachshon ben Aminadav was the Nasi of the Shevet Yehuda, and today was his Korban. And is she happy? No, she is not in the least bit happy. She is in a terrible state of tragic sadness over the death of her two children, Nadav Aviu. Okay, so this was one of the yonim that we're bringing out over here about what should have been the Simcha of Yom HaShmini and instead turned into a tragedy. But in any event, it does say over here what's important to us at this point is that Katani Miat, it does say Yevam HaMelech and Bala is the Kohen Gadol, which clearly means that her brother-in-law, Moshe, was not a Kohen, right? But Rav says that Moshe was a Kohen. Asher was a Kohen Gadol. Ema Af Melech. That doesn't mean that he was not a Kohen. It's just that since we're listing all of the various ways that she's supposed to be happy and instead ended up as Avila, was the fact that her brother-in-law was not only a Kohen Gadol, he was the king, her husband. Okay, she had to settle for his being only a Kohen Gadol, right? But the bottom line is, she should have been happy over the combination. Okay, so this doesn't mean that Moshe wasn't the Kohen, it just means that he was also the Melech. Anyway, the truth is that the question of whether Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Kohen is a machlokas tanoi. Ketanoi. Because, and this is the famous, again, we're going back now into the Mamish, the roots of the kahuna, the roots of Pinchas's kahuna, all of the inyanim we've been talking about over here are so fundamental in psukim that we've thought about for so many years, and here in Zvachim we actually find the details of these psukim. Sikitanoi. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to go to take out Yisrael and Mitzrayim, so remember he argues for 7 days with HaKadosh Baruch. At the end of which he just says, you know what? Why don't you just send it with somebody else? Shlach na biyat shlach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you bum, you've been arguing with me for 7 days without paying attention to you. I never had the slightest intention of doing what I'm telling you to do. You just wanted to argue with me because it was so much fun to be with me. That is ridiculous. Anyway, so at the end, what happens? It says that Hashem really gets angry. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Now, what happens because of this Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe? It doesn't say. It just says he got very angry. So, all right, he's intimidated. Moshe ends up going. So, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha points out, you know, every place in the Torah where we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, or anybody, anytime we have a lashon of Charon Av, it's always a prelude to some actual result of that Charon Av. And he got very angry. And what? Nothing happens over here. So, kol Charon Av shebat Torah, there's some kind of impact. Demar Barosha. There's always some kind of impact to that Charon Av. This is the only place in kol Torah Kula where there's Charon Av and it doesn't make any difference. It just, what is it? It's like a mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kaviyochol emotions. I mean, what's the point over here? Says Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai, it's not true. Av b'zeh ne'emar b'roshem. There's a major impact of this Charon Av. You can see that impact in this very pasuk. Because what does it say? It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Halo Aharon Achicha HaLevi. Now, what is this Aharon Achicha HaLevi? I mean, Moshe's also a Levi. Obviously, if his brother's a Levi, he's a Levi. So what are we saying? Aharon Achicha HaLevi. And besides, he wasn't a Levi, he was a Kohen, no? Therefore, the whole point over here is, Achika Amar, my initial intent, my dear Moshe, was that you should be the Kohen and he should be the Levi. Well, it ain't going to be that way anymore because I'm angry. Hashab hu Kohen ve'ata Levi. So now it was the whole point that I was megalit to you that it was meant to be otherwise. That is the biggest roshem of the Vayicharav. V'chachomim omrim, lo nitkahen Moshe, ela shivat yimei milu im bilvad. Here, according to the Chachomim, even if it's true that he was a Kohen briefly, but he wasn't meant to be the Kohen, and that he was only a Kohen for those days of the Shivas Yimei Miluim, when it comes to Shmini B'Miluim, he already had to give over that kahuna to his brother Aaron. The Yesh Omrim, others say that no, he actually was a Kohen, but he wasn't a Kohen in the sense of being the Keter Kohuna. He was a Kohen personally, was able to do the Avodah, but his children, they were not Kohani, but he himself was actually a complete Kohen. And that's who Rav was going according to. Shenemar, Moshe Isha Elohim, Banav Yikara'u al Shevet HaLevi. Over here in Divrei HaYomim, where we're talking about the Yichusim, so there it says, Moshe Rabbeinu's children, they were called Levim, which is Mashmah. Moshe himself was indeed a Kohen. And I'll prove it to you from another pasuk, a beautiful pasuk. Moshe v'Aharon b'Kohanav. What are you going to do about that? Moshe v'Aharon b'Kohanav. Okay, that means that there were two Kohanim. There was Moshe and there was Aaron. Ushmuel pikor eshimon. Anyway, why do I need this second pasuk? That first pasuk was pretty impressive, in which it stresses that only Zar Abanav of Moshe Yikaru Ashevet HaLevi. That seems to be pretty clear that Moshe personally was more than Yikaru Ashevet HaLevi. No? Why do I need the second pasuk? Because it could be that you would say, look, you can't bring a raya from Divrei HaYomim. Because Divrei HaYomim is coming to describe what happens in the Dorot following whatever event it's describing. So that's what it's saying. From that point on, his children were called Lviv. But the pasuk later that says Beferish, that he was a Kohen, this first pasuk was only an inference. If his bonim are Levim, he must have been a Kohen. But that inference is not necessarily, if all we're looking at is what is the halach of the Yichus of B'nai Moshe, that's all. Okay, so meanwhile, we support Rav with the Shita Benatanoi. Now, the question is, why did you say that every time there's Charon Af, there's always some impact to that Charon Af? Is that true? The Chol Charon Af Shebetorah Nemar Boroshem? I mean, I can think of places where not. I mean, what about the fact that it says, Moshe left Paro with absolutely furious anger. Vayetze mi Paro b'chori Af. I mean, so you see that chori Af is just a description of emotions. It doesn't necessarily have to describe the catalyst for a physical act. So why do you say there's always going to be some kind of roshem? He didn't say anything to Paro. He just walked out. Lo amalei v'lo mide. Om Resh Lakish, that's right. He didn't say anything. He slapped him right across the face. That's what he did. Shitarov Yatsa. When it says he was angry and walked out, it means he walked out with a bang. That's what it means. So, huh? Resh Lakish could never have said something like that because Resh Lakish is the man, the Omar, who holds the Shita that you have to treat Paro with respect. That's good for Resh Lakish who comes up with that din. Umi Omar Resh Lakish Hachi, the Aksiv, Vinitzavta, Likrato, Asvata, Yor. What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu first sends Moshe to Paro, and he says, Vinitzavta, Likrato. What exactly does that mean? You should stand up? And why should you stand up? So that's a machlokes. Resh Lakish says, stand up because you have to be machabed him. Just because I'm sending you to him to bust him up, that doesn't mean that you can treat him with disrespect. He's a melech. Melech hu v'hasber lo panim. And so, therefore, you've got to be able to stand up when you see him. Rabbi Yochanan says, on the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, this guy, v'nitzavta, this guy's a Russia. Stand up. Make me stand up straight and make a fool of him. Ha'ez panechabo, speak to him like he's a piece of garbage. So, but oh, you see that Beferish, Resh Lakish is the one who would say that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to slap Paro across the face. So how could Resh Lakish have said that? You're right. It must be we got the two Mandi Omrim mixed up. Apparently, Resh Lakish was the one who said Vinitzavta. Because remember, we find the Lashon of Nitzavim by Dosan Vaviram, right? And over there, they were Nitzavim against Moshe. That means they acted with chutzpah. So he was the one who said Nitzavta is a question of Batavkin not treating him with Erech Eretz, according to which, in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu's Charon Af implies that he slapped him. Om Rabbi Yanai, you're always Mechuyev. It doesn't matter what type of king you're talking about. Olam tehe emat malchut alecha. Because even when Moshe Rabbeinu was at the bitter end of this whole thing, right? So he says to Paro, look, you should just know that next time, V'yardu kol avadecha elai, all of your servants are going to come down, and they're going to be mishtachaveh, and they're going to beg me to leave, and then maybe I'll leave, you know? But, I mean, the truth is, this wasn't all of the Avonim. It was Paro himself who came down, as it says later. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu pretend it's only going to be the Avdei Paro, Kol Avadecha? Because of the covet of the Malchus. He didn't say to Paro's face, this is what you're going to do. That's why. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll bring you another pasuk. V'yad Hashem, Eitai Leliyo. So over here, Ahab was alone in those terrible years. And Eliyahu was ben Hashamayim, turned into his runner, because it wasn't covered that Ahab should be alone in a chariot. He runs in front of Ahab to be a runner of the king. Incredible. Eliyahu Anavi, because Ahab was a melech. Incredible. Omar Ula. The truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for the Malchus. V'lo natnu lo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it them. Diftiv, it says, beferish, as Moshe Rabbeinu approaches the burning bush, it says, al tikrav halom, don't come closer. But halom means not to hear. Halom is a remiss to the malchus. Ein halom ela malchut, because the moment that Nosan HaNavi came to Dovid HaMelech, and he gave him the Nevi'us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him the Malchus, and the Keser Malchus, he goes into the Beis, into the Azara, and he says his beautiful tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one of the things he says is, who am I that you should have brought me ad halom? The mi anochi Hashem Elokim ki viatani ad halom. And what was that halom? It was referring to what had just been told him, which was that he was the Melech. And therefore we see that halom is a reference to Malchus. So now that means that Ula is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Melech. But didn't we just learn in that Braita about Elisheva that we said her brother-in-law was a Melech, right? Masi brava. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. There was nobody as happy among the women of Yisrael as Elisheva, but should have been happy, because her brother-in-law, Moshe, was a melech. And you're telling me that al tikrav halom means you're not going to be a melech. Omar Rava, halom doesn't mean personal malchus. Halom means a dynasty, a keser malchus. So al tikrav halom means you're not going to be a melech that is going to be founding a base Moshe. There's not going to be any base Moshe. So not only do you not have a keser malchus, you don't even have a base malchus. Like we find by Miriam and Yocheved, batim, the lashon of batim, bate malchus, we darsha. That's not going to be given to you. So that's the al tikrav halom. Lo ulezar o. What, is that true? Kol Eicha Dichtiv Halom, it means Lo Lazaro. By Shaul, it says Halom, because when Shaul was hiding out, and Shmuel, he was hiding in the baggage room, remember? And Shmuel is saying, come forth the king, and there is no king, he's not there. And so they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, isn't there someone else here for this Halom? We can't find him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, he's hiding out in the baggage room. All right, so it says the Lashon over there, Haba od halom ish. So it's calling Shaul, the one that is now appointed as halom, but Shaul also wasn't granted lo ulazaro, was it? And there it meant only who, but not his children. Well, I could tell you two answers on that. I mean, first of all, There was 2 years of Ishbosheth, and that's a child. So maybe that's enough to satisfy the requirement for Halom. Or I could tell you, maybe it was given to him, but it was taken away. Because Shainei Shaul, Da'afila Begavei Lokoyim, even his own personal Malchus didn't last. So you can't ask, well, what happened? How come his children weren't king if it said Halom? Because it was taken away from Shaul. And therefore, it's no kasha that he didn't have children. Of course, he didn't have children that were kings. And this, I think, is 100% necessary, says the Gemara, because we know that Rebbe Lazar quotes Rebbe Chanina as saying that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pesek gedula on a person, there never would have been a psak of gedula, which was happening over here, where Shmuel HaNavi was announcing the Malchus of Shaul, Hine, the Melech, and so on. That's a psak of Gedula. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a psak of Gedula, it's never to the person. It's to the whole essence of that person's past and future. So, poskin lo lezaro at sof kol adorot, shenema lo yigram mitzadike nav vet melachim lakisei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take his eyes off of that individual that was made the melech on the kisei. The only thing is, if he gets stuck up, then he loses it all. Ime gizdato, if the fool begins to think that he's so great, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpilo, This is the most amazing pasuk. Where do we see that if somebody gets stuck up, that he loses it all? Shenemar ve'im asurim bezikim yilachdun bechavlei oni. You hear? If somebody is tied up in chains, who's tied up in chains? Somebody who thinks he's great. It's like the poor guy has nothing. So now he's stuck in himself and he's completely living in his solipsistic emptiness. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does him even worse. Now we'll trap him in these cords of complete aeneas. He's not going to have anything. Beautiful. Anyway, so you see that initially, of course, it must have been that Sheol was granted a Malchus Lo Levanav. And the only reason that it wasn't Mizkayim was because of the fact he gizdato, and that he was not following the Dvar Hashem. And because of that, he ended up losing. Okay, getting back now to our Mishnah. So now we've got this incredible inyanim settled over here about the aspects, the beginning of the Mishnah, the aspects of the Onin. But we have to talk about the Balmun, because the Chiddush in the Mishnah is that even though it's true that we're not cholek kachim to the Onin and so on, but if someone is a Balmun, and it doesn't matter, bein balei mumim kavuim, bein balei mumim ivrim, it's exactly the same. They not only are allowed to eat, but they also have a chelek, and we give them a mana of whatever it is that's been given out to the mishmar. And they eat the kachim. So how do we know this? So Tana Rabbana, before we get into this, let me just tell you in advance so that it becomes clear what we're doing here. We have four separate psukim that tell us about the din of a balmun. And what the Gemara does now is it goes through all four of these psukim to figure out why is it that we actually need four different psukim for the sugya of balmun. So let's go over those four psukim. So three of those psukim are psukim about kol zachar b'kohanim. And kol zachar is coming to be marba, every single zachar, including even a balmun. So that is, here are those three psukim. We have the pasuk, first of all, we have by Minochas, where it says, kol zachar bivnei Aharon yochalena. Then we have by the Korban Chatas, kol zachar b'kohanim yochal ota. And then we have by the Asham, kol zachar b'kohanim yochalena. And then remember, we have the pasuk that we said originally, that the pasuk says specifically that a balmum is able to be oichal, that we see in terms of the actual parsha of balimumi, where there it says beferish, lechem elehav, mikotchea kodashim, umina kodashim yochelu. So it says openly, give them a chelek in the kachim, whether it's kachim palim or kachim. So besides that, we have three other psukim. And why in the world do we need so many ribuyim about the din of a balmum? That's what this bright is going to be going through. So that we have our three psukim in Tzav and our one pasuk in Emor in the context of the balimumim. And let's take a look at them. So, the bright says, Tana Rabbana, Kol Zachar. This for pasuk is the pasuk that it says by Mincha. So it says Kol Zachar bivnei Aharon yochalena. Kol Zachar is to tell me even balei mumim. So now ask yourself, why is the Torah have to say the pasuk of balei mumim being allowed to eat the korban mincha? Tyre Rebbe, you don't want to share your entire beautiful countenance. Only your hair. I mean, I agree, it's a very nice hairdo, but it'd be nice to see the whole thing. So, what do you think it's coming to tell me here? Lemai. Is it telling me that a balmum is allowed to eat a korban mincha? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that a balmum is allowed to eat a korban mincha. Doesn't it say, lechem elehav? Because Shea Kodashim, I mean, that's a din of all types of kachim. So, of course, he would get to eat the mincha. Why bother mentioning it? Ella, this must be adding. Kol Zachar is telling me that he also gets a chelek. So, to eat, remember, we've said all along here, we have two different dargans. First of all, the question of whether he's oichal. And then, if he is, then we have the shayla of whether he's actually given a chelek. Now that Zoom has caught on that the kids have to play with each other and put the pictures next. Why, Gabi, why don't you move Ori to your other arms so you can get closer to Tsuri? You don't want to get caught in the middle, do you? All right, so now we know two psukim. Our general pasuk, Lechem Eloyov Mikotshei HaKadoshim Umir HaKadoshim Yochel, actually, and the pasuk specifically, of Kol Zachar Bivnei Aharon Yochleno by Korban Mincha. So we understand. One pasuk comes to tell me that there is a heter achila, and one pasuk comes to tell me that there is a chaluka as well. Okay, now what about the next pasuk that we find? That how about korban chatas? It says the same lashon there, kol zachar b'kohanim. Why do I need another kol zachar b'kohanim if I already did it? And it said there l'rabot ba'alei mumim. So why do I need it for? Lamai? Ilach ilah. I already know from the pasuk of min HaKadoshim, min HaKadoshim Yochal. If it's the Chaluka, we already know that from Kol Zachar B'Vnei Aaron by the Mincha. I'll tell you why we need the extra pasuk here by Chatas. Sheyochal ein li ela tam v'naaseh b'almum. How do I know if he was a b'almum meikaro? Minayin? What about if a Kohen never had been roy to eat? He was born with a terrible mum, and therefore he was congenitally deformed on some level, wasn't able to ever eat kachim. So in that case, I understand we won't give him the kodesh. But how? So I would think only if he was first the time and then it was Balmum, then he can eat. But how do I know even if he was congenitally a Balmum? Balmum mikoro minayim, therefore I need the extra pasuk to tell me by the chatas, kol zachar, even if he was a Balmum mikoro. Now, we have another braita that talks about the third pasuk. The third pasuk appears by the korban asham. So tanya idach, kol zachar b'kohanim yochleno, why do we need that? That's coming to tell me a balmum. What? Balmum what? Lamai? Vachila? We know that. We know that from the Kodashim Yochal. If it's to tell me the Chaluka, I know that. I know that from Mincha. If it's to tell me even a balmum Meikara, I know that. I know that from Chatas, Arikvar Amur. Why do I need this yet, the fourth mention over here of balmum? Because Yochal in the Ela Balmum Kavua. How do I know a Balmum over? I might have thought that only a Balmum who will never be able to get rid of that mum. It's inoperable. So I understand. That's why the Balmum Kavua, the Torah gave him the right to eat. But what about if he can be fixed? If he's a Balmum over, how do I know that he can eat? Talmud Lomar calls Zachar by Osham. Well, wait a second over here. That's backwards, no? Where are you going? Klapilaya, where are you heading over here? Should be the other way around. You should have said, Einli Ella Balmum, that is Eno Kavua, Balmum Over. So since he's not so homer, we're going to give him a chelek. How do I know even a Balmum that's incurable? No? Says Rav Shishi, yeah, I guess so. Epoch, it should be the other way around. Rav Ashi says, no, it shouldn't be the other way around. It makes perfectly good sense like this. Because Leolam Lo Tepoch, because I would still say, V'itzrich, look, Salka Daita Chamina. I might have thought that a Balmum Over is essentially the same as a person who's Tame. What's that person who's Tame? Torah says, wait until he becomes Tahar and then let him eat, right? So the same thing is true over here. Wait until the Mum passes and then let him eat. I mean, we have a concept like this. Remember, we have the idea of a Dovashieshlo Matirin. So if something is Usur, and it's going to become mutter. There's a way to eat it, beheter. So we don't say that you can eat it in a case of bittel. So same type of idea. Maybe that's what it's saying over here. If he's actually permanently disabled. Okay, so then he's in a different state. The terrorist said, all right, he's never going to be able to eat. Let him eat. But if he was always eating and now something happened and temporarily he's disabled and can't eat, so then maybe Enoch Inami, we should in fact wait. Therefore, I need even this fourth pasuk. Okay, so now that means I know that a Baal Mum, whether he's a Baal Mum Kavua or a Baal Mum Over, whether he's a Baal Mum Ikoroi or whether he's a Baal Mum that was originally good, whether we're talking about the Achila or whether we're talking about the Chalukah, in all cases, the Baal Mum actually is able to participate not only in the eating, but he's also given a Chelag. Moving on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Kol she'eno ra'ui is eno ochel. So what if he's unable to do the avodah? So then he isn't given any of the basar. But that is patently absurd. The Mishnah itself just finished telling me that a Baal Mum is chelag. And a Baal Mum is like a prime example of somebody who is not kosher for the avodah. So what are you talking about? Velo? Well, you tell me if you're possible for the Aveda, so then you're not able to eat. We just said a Baal Mum. A Baal Mum is no ra'ui la'avoda, and Dafka, he does it. And also, Vitu, let's take a look at the implications of this statement, because the implications of the Mishnah are also wrong. The Mashma'ut in the Mishnah is only somebody who's not ra'ui la'avoda. He is not given from the basar. But if he is royal aveda, he is given the basar. That's not true either. Because what about a kohen who's tameh, and he's doing aveda in korbanot atzibur? So remember, if a kohen who's tameh meis, and he does the aveda, what's his din in terms of the achila? He does not give him anything to eat. He only does the aveda. So a tameh bekorbanot atzibur, he is royal avoda, but he does not get the food. So both the statement as you have it, that if he's posel avoda, he doesn't get, is clearly ridiculous. You just said yourself that the Baal Mum does get. And the implications also don't make sense, because the implications are that wherever you do have that ability, then you are able to eat. And that's not true because of the kohen who's a tameh meis by a korban tzibur. He's a royal avoda v'eino chelag. So what's the meaning of this Mishnah? Well, that doesn't bother me so much. You know what? Maybe we misunderstood when we said ra'ui. We didn't mean ra'ui for the avoda. We meant ra'ui for the achila. So what we're saying is, if you're not in your present state, Roy to eat now, we're not going to be chelik you to eat later. That's the point. We'll not give you a chelik. You say, oh, but I'll be Torah tonight. No, that doesn't matter. If you can't eat now, you don't get a chelik. That's what it means. But that's it. Also doesn't make sense, because if Roy lachila, so that would, I mean, we're implying, aren't we, that but if you are Roy lachila, then you are cholik. But that implication is not true. Because what about a katan? A kohen who's a katan, we learn out later, he does not get a chelik, but he certainly eats. He eats together with anything that the father shares with him. It's just he doesn't get his own chelik. So what about a katan who's royal achila, but he doesn't chelik, he's not chelik himself? And wait a minute. The Mishnah never said the implications. You're the one who said the implications, right? You're the one who said, quote, oh, ra'ui la'achila cholek. Did the Mishnah say that? No. So what's your problem? You decided that the Mishnah's implication has to be that. It's not true. The Mishnah was telling you what the din is. Huh? This word, but, you know, that you have with the quotation marks around it, lo katani, didn't say that in the Mishnah. It only said that in your brain. And therefore, it doesn't count. Anyway, once you're telling me this, that the Mishnah is only focusing on what it says and not on its implications, then I don't have any problem. Instead of changing the girsa before and say that it means kol ra'ui la'achila and not kol ra'ui la'avodah, we can go back to what the Mishnah said. Le'olam Kiryomar Mi'ikara, Kol Haroi La'avoda. And what were the two questions that we had? Well, didn't you just say that the Baal Mum does it? And the other question was, and what about a tummy mace in Avedas HaTzibur who doesn't eat? So that question, Imishum Tameh, that doesn't bother me, because that was your imagination. You were the one who said the words that if he is roi, then he does eat. But the Mishnah didn't say that. So therefore, the fact that he's roi to do the Aveda as a Karban Tameh, the Karban as a Tzibur. So, did I ever say anything about that? You said that. So that doesn't bother me. So Tameh lo katani, the ha is not there. V'imi shum baal mum, and what are you going to ask me? Didn't you just say that a baal mum is not roi la'avoda does eat? And then you tell me if you're not roi la'avoda, you don't eat. I mean, that's the whole point, is that the Mishnah is saying, look, we have four psukim to tell me that a baal mum is okel, that he's chaylek, and that whether he's a bein baal mum kavua, or whether he's a bein baal mum oiver, I'm referring to all of the things that you're going to read in the Braita on this Mishnah. So that's the given. Now, besides that special case where the Torah gives the Baal Mum all of these rights, in general, the din would be, if you're unable to do the Aveda, you're also unable to eat. But the Baal Mum is exactly what I'm bringing out. Here, Rachmana Rabbie, it's specifically because we have these four psukim to include him in all of these rights. The next thing that we had from the Mishnah was afilu tamei b'sha'at zrikat damim. So even if this guy was tamei b'sha'at zrika, and now when we finish doing the avoda of the akrovas haimurim, he's tahar. He's tahar b'sha'at hekter chalavim. Also, he's not cholik. He needed to be tahar at the time of the zrika in order to be cholik. Now, once again, I want to take a look at the inference and show you that the inference does not seem to be correct. What's the inference? Because the mashma'ut is here in the Mishnah that what would be if he would have been tahar b'shazrikas damim, and then he became tamei afterwards at the time of the hekter chalavim. So the mashma'ut of the Mishnah is that then he would be chaylik. And the only time that he's not chaylik is if he initially was tamei. But if he initially was tahar, then he would be chaylik. But if that's true, then the Mishnah is clearly going against the shita of Abba Shaul, which was very devastating to Gavi. What are you going to do now? Up the street? How are you going to face Abba Shaul after learning the Mishnah today? My gosh. Because how do I know it's not like Abba Shaul? The Tanya. Abba Shaul omer, le'olam eino ochel ad shi'e tahor mish'at zrika ad shas hekter chalavim. Abba Shaul holds you got to be tahor the entire time. And if you were tahor b'shas zrika and tamei b'shas hekter chalavim, you also cannot eat. So you see that this is not like Abba Shaul. Because, says Abba Shaul, it's a beferish aposik. Hamakriv et dam ha'shlamim ve'et ha'chelev. Only he is able to have the shoka yamin lemana. So apparently it's dependent on not only the shas aveda of zrika, but even on the haktar. This teaches us afilo hekter chalavim nami boy. And our Mishnah seems to be clearly saying not like them. I got a question about Abba Shaul's shita, says Ravashi. What does he mean? Does he mean he needed to be tar the entire time? Or does he mean he needed to be tar on those two particular moments? So let's imagine a case like this. They did his zrika, and he was tar b'shas zrika. Now he became tameh. He runs to the mikveh. It's still 10 minutes before shkia. He does harev shemesh. And now they go ahead and do the hekter chalavim. That means that he was tahar both for the zrikas hadam and for the hekter chalavim. Does that satisfy the pasuk according to the way Abba Shaul understands it? Or did Abba Shaul literally mean that this kohen needs to be in a state of tahara from the time of the zrika through the hekter chalavim? And therefore, if he interrupted in the middle and he was tummy, it would not be enough to allow him to be ochel. Let's see that inside. Boy Rav Ashi, according to Abba Shaul, if he was nitma benatayim mao, if the whole point of a pasuk is that you need him to be tahar, bishaat zrika, and bishaat akhtar, okay, well, you fulfilled that, ta'ika. So that's the criteria, and that is a-okay. Or maybe the way that he understood the pasuk is mishaat zrika va'at shas akhtar. So dilma achi tahar mishaat zrika, I really don't know, don't have enough information to tell you what Abba Shaul would have said in such a case. Okay? Omar Rav, it should say, I learned this following din that I'm going to tell you from Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who was aimed on this din in the bathroom. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, in the bathroom, I thought you're not allowed to learn Torah in the bathroom. So how are you quoting his tremendous limud in the bathroom? Okay, but we'll take a look at it, and then we'll ask the question about how in the world he learned this halacha in the bathroom. But in any event, it's therefore that's why it's got to be Rav, not Rava, because how could he have heard anything from Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon if he was two generations away from him? Now, Rav actually knew Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And I remember Rav was that same generation of the last Tanaim. Anyway, so he figured this out in the Beit HaKisa. And what he figured out is a very sweet way of bringing out why we need all of the psukim that tell us that etful yom is Usur b'achilah. So we've been talking about our four psukim that tell us that the Baal Mum can do the achilah. And here we've got three different psukim that the pasuk tells us that a tvuyom cannot eat. So imagine such a case, says Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. A tvuyom comes in and talks to his friend who is on duty in the Beis HaMikdash. He unfortunately is not on duty because he's a tvuyom and he's not able to do the Aveda today. And he goes to his friend, at least he was an erstwhile friend, and he says to him, listen, how about inviting me? I'm sort of hungry. How about inviting me to some of that delicious mincha that you have, huh? So tainli mi mincha v'ochal, and I'll eat it tonight. I won't eat it as a tfuyom, chas for shalom. I know I'm also to eat as a tfuyom, but invite me in for a meal after shkia. Says his friend, are you kidding? Why would I share any of that with you? You have no rights to share in that. And I'll bring you a raya. So this is basically a way of saying, if I had a pasuk by Chatas, I would still need to know the pasuk by Mincha. That's exactly what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is trying to bring out here in these conversations. That each one of these psukim is necessary because given one, you'd think, and he brings out that you would think in a beautiful conversation between the Tvuyom and his friend who refuses to give him any of it, you would think that I could learn it enough from one of the psukim kamashmal. No, I need to know the other pasuk. So we start with the request for sharing in a mincha. So the Torah says to him, are you kidding? If b'makom sheyupako chacha, you've got a very strong basis for asking for something if it was a chatas, you know, because if you were bringing your own chatas, what would be the din? If a kohen brings his own chatas, first of all, he can bring it whenever he wants, because he doesn't have to be a member. We said before that a kohen could actually, if he's bringing his own korban, then he's allowed to do that at any time. So he could be ba b'cholavat nafsho. So if you were bringing your own chatas, you would have a right to that avoda, and you would also have the right to keep that buzzer for yourself. And you could keep, actually, you could even keep the or anything that's given to the kohen, you would have a right not to share with me. So you're pretty tough when it comes to the chatas. And afal pike, If you wanted to eat any of that carbon, you would not be able to if you were at Tfuyom and it was a Yisrael's carbon, and the din is over there. HaKohen HaMechateota Yochlena. Only the Kohen who can do the Aveda, he's the one who gets to eat. But if he can't do the Aveda, he doesn't get to eat. So if I can prevent you from getting anything of a Chatas of Yisrael, Kol Shekein, when it comes to a Mincha, man, you are incredibly weak when it comes to a Mincha, because if it's your Mincha, what's the din of a Minchas Kohen? You get nothing. Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyeh. So, Kol Shekein, I could tell you, get out of here. You want a mincha? You can't even have a chatas where the Torah gave you all that great opportunity and you can't have it. So, sorry, eno din shadicha chami mincha zisoh, for sure I'm not going to let you have a mincha. Now, the Tfuyom has got a way out of that, because he could always say to the Torah, well, what kind of kavach omer is that? Of course, you had the power to keep me from eating the Chatas Yisrael, but that's because you as a Kohen had your own strong position to keep that Chatas for yourself. Raya, if you brought that Chatas, it would be entirely your own. So that's why you were able to push me away, because you're telling me, Yofakuchi, Kach Yupakochacha. You were also stronger when it came to the Chatas. Mashenke, when it comes to a Mincha, and you want to use your power to say, no, I'm keeping the Mincha for myself. Hey, buddy, you ain't got no Chelik in that Mincha. It's completely Kalil Tiyeh. So if I want to take a Chelik in the Mincha Yisrael that is now being given out in the Mishmar, why shouldn't I have a right to have it for tonight? So this is basically Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's way of saying, why did the Torah tell me the din of chatas, akoinim b'chateota yochlena, and also need to tell me the din by mincha? It's because of this. Harehu omer. So the Torah would have to say, okay, I give up on the kal v'chomer, but it's a pasuk. It says about the mincha, l'kohen hamakrivota lo tiyeh. Now I understand why I also need the pasuk of the mincha. Now note the parallel of what we're doing here to what it is that we did before when it came to the psukim legabi the balmum. So we're taking a look at a pasuk that occurs in the chatas, a pasuk that occurs in the mincha, and we're showing you that we need both of them. Now, how about if he turns around, so he has no right to a mincha, and he wants now to be able, what did I get up to? I got only up to L'Kohena Makrivota by the Mincha, yeah. Oh, so I just, so now, okay, if I knew the Mincha, so how about if the guy would come in, the Tvuyom, and would want the Chatas? I got to show you that I wouldn't have known from the Mincha the Chatas. So if he says now to the Tohar, okay, I'm going to be okay tonight to eat, so how about give me some of the chatas that was being given out to the mishmar today? I can't eat it now, but I can eat it tonight, so give me a piece of that. Omar lo, so now the Torah would say to him, hey, even in a place where I had no real power, in a case of my mincha, where the mincha's coin is Khalil, I was able to keep you away from the mincha's Yisrael, because the Torah said so. It said, only HaKohen HaMakrivuta. So, HaMakom SheYahu Pakochi, a place where I am very powerful. I have the rights to my own chatas whenever I want, and I can keep all of its pusser and all of its or. So, for sure, I could keep you away from having a chelik in the Yisrael's chatas, can't I? And, of course, the Tfuyom is going to respond, get out of here, Uma. Maybe the reason that you could keep me away from the Minchas Yisrael, even though you're weak, is because I'm weak. I'm also a Kohen, and I also will not have any chelik in a chatas of my own. So, does that give you a right to push me away from taking a chelik of a chatas Yisrael? Where even, you're right, it's true, that I am very powerful, say you, when it comes to my own chatas. Yeah, well, so am I. I'm also a Kohen, and I also am powerful. So maybe because of that power that I have in the case of a Chatas, I should have a right to share in the Chatas Yisrael? Therefore, I need the next pasuk. HaKohen HaMechate Ota Yochlena. So just like it says by the Mincha HaKohen HaMakriv Ota Lotia, here it says, only to give that meat to the Kohen HaMechate Ota is allowed to eat. Okay, very good, please. Come, Mr. Tvulyon, I have no objection to your sharing everything. Just go ahead and do the Aveda, and then I'll give you. So therefore, you get nothing. So bo chatevech, oh, go ahead, let's see you do the Aveda, and then you get a piece. Now, suppose that Tvulyon says to the Kohen who's tar, how about giving me some of that chaz of a shok that you got from the shlomim of Yisrael? And I'll have something to eat for dinner tonight. The Kohen Ustar would say, get out of here. Umaba makam sheyupa kochacha. If, where even though you are strong, in the case of a chatas, where you get to bring the chatas whenever you want, if it's your own, and keep all of the meat for yourself, I was still able to keep you away from a chatas Yisrael. So a makam where you get almost nothing, all you have in a shlomim is only a chaz of a shok. Out of the whole carbon, as opposed to what you would have had in a chatas. So for sure, I'm not going to let you have any. To which the Tvuyom would say, well, that's backwards. Maybe you could keep me away from the chatas, because a chatas, I don't have a right to share with my wife. I don't have, it says, called Zachar B'Kohanim. I don't have the right to share it with my Avodim, but you can't push me away from Chaz of a Shok, where there I have a right to share it with my whole family and with my Avodim. Shekein Yupako Chietzel Nashai V'Avodai. Therefore, comes along the Pasuk to say, what the Kohen Tahor says to him, well, too bad. It says, L'Kohen HaZoreket HaMashlamim. Lo yeah, please, come right ahead. Let's see you do the Zrika, and I'm happy to share with you. So that explains why we would need this additional pasuk by the case of the Shlomim. And now this poor guy can walk out of the room, hungry as could be. All he's got is these kal v'chomers on his head that are now dripping across his forehead. But there's certainly nothing good to eat, because he's shown that all these kal v'chomers are useless, but it didn't help him one bit. And he goes out miserable and hungry to try to get to a Howard Johnson's to eat. And on his right-hand side, there goes the Onan, who's got the same trouble. And as on his left-hand side goes the Mechusar Kippurim, who's got the same trouble. He's even got worse trouble, because Mechusar Kippurim has to still do a maaseh to become tar. And so the Onan maybe is a little bit better, but it's all of them are hopeless. They cannot do the Aveda, and that means if they cannot do the Aveda, then they are unable to eat.
Rebbe, I forgot the names, but there was a Hasidish Rebbe that the Hasidim, long after his death, gave him an aliyah and concert. And another Rebbe said,
the
that's
Breslover.
Nothing, let's see if they give him Hagba.
Breslov, Faberson.
Right. So you see Hagba, it's like the Zari.
Borech Revachoy. Revachoy said, how come Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon left out another very important case? He could have had the same story of a Tvuyom who comes and says to a Tohar Kohen, give me some of the Bukhar, and I'll eat it. Now, obviously, the Bukhar is not given, it's given to a particular Kohen by the Yisrael. I mean, so the case over here is a little bit different. It's not going to be that I want to share what the Mishmar is sharing. It's that a Yisrael comes in, and he wants to give him the Bukhar. And this other Kohen is saying, hey, you can't give that guy a Bukhar. He's not tar. Give it to me. Right? So the Tvuyom is saying, what do you mean? I want the Bukhar. So let him give it to me. And because the Torah would say to him, no, you can't have a Bukhar. Because Maba Makam Shurako Chi, I don't have the kayak to share my korban chatas with my family. It's on the Shaiva Vadai. And Afal Pikein. I kept you away when it came to the chatas. I kept you away from getting any part of a chatas of Yisrael that was being handed out. So when it comes to the Bechor, where I'm able to give to do whatever I want with it, kulei delihi. So for sure I should be able to push you away from taking that Bechor from me. This guy should give his Bechor to me. So then the Baal, the Tvuyon will answer him. All of this would fit very nicely into the Braita. He could use the same format. The Tvuyon would say, well, that just doesn't prove anything. You kept me away from the Chatas Yisrael because over there, the same way that you didn't have the kayak to share it with your family, neither did I. So, kashem shurako chacha kachu rakochi, that doesn't mean you can keep me away from getting a bechor from this guy who wants to give it to me. Because after all, the same way that you have more power over bechor, sharing it with your family, I have more power over bechor sharing it with my family. Kachu pakochi. And then, this would be the end. The end would be, that's why the Torah coin would come back and say, "Et damam tizrok al hamizbeach ve'et chelbam taktir," and then b'saram yelecha. So go right ahead and do the zrika. Bo zrok vechol. It says you have to be zorek the dam, and then you can eat. So how come Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon didn't include this case? I mean, it's shouting out to be included, isn't it? It seems so clear. Says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is not similar at all. Note the lashon of all of the other cases. They were all cases where it said beferish, you have to do the Aveda specifically. Because if it was talking about the Mincha, it says beferish la kohena makrivo talotia. The Kohen who can do the Aveda, he gets it. When it came to the Chatas, it says HaKohen HaMechateota Yochvena. The Kohen who actually does the Aveda of the Dam and Mechate, he's the one who gets it. When we're talking about the Kohen, about the rights to the Chazav Ashok, it says Beferish, LaKohen HaZoreket Dam HaShlamim Lo Yiyeh. All of them focus on the individual Kohen who's doing the particular Aveda. But over here, it doesn't talk about a Kohen. It just says, make sure that the damam, et damam tizrok, vet chalbam taktir, uvsaram yelecha. But it doesn't say it has to be the Kohen who did this rikas adam, does it? It just says this is the avoda that needs to be done. So your question of why I don't include it is not a good question at all. It makes no sense to include it at all because it's the guy would say, it doesn't say, Bisaram la kohen azorek. It just says the Bisaram yelecha, whoever you are, even if you're a kohen acher, meaning even if you're a tvuyom who cannot be zorek. By the way, I mean, yeah, this is a great little drasha over here, and I enjoyed it very much, but how the heck did Rav get it from the bathroom? I thought you're not allowed to be learning in a bathroom. So this whole thing doesn't make any sense. Hechi avinachi. Via Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'chol makom mutar laharher chutz mimerchatz mibeit hakiseh. You're allowed to be thinking in Torah, but not if you're in a bathroom, and not if you're in a public bath. It's different, because over here you're talking about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. You really think Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon could shut his mind off? I mean, all he has in his brain is Divrei Torah. So what's he supposed to do? Get anesthesia before he goes to the bathroom? I mean, so there's no way his brain is continuing to churn out chidushim in the bathroom. Afterwards, he shared them with Rav, but he was maharher in the bathroom. So Rav was coming to say, this is what Reb Shimon's brain comes up with when he's trying his best to suppress his chidushim, you know? Okay, so he told that to me from the Tera of the bathroom. Okay. Beautiful. All right. So what we've learned today is the usage of and the requirement for the different psukim that appear in the dinim of Tvuyom when it comes to Chatas, Mincha, and Chazav Ashok. and how that applies also to Mechuset Kippurim, of course, and goes back to our sugya of the Onen, who is also going to be limited by his inability to do the Aveda, as the Mishnah said, and is only given a share when he can do the Aveda. And then we learnt also of the different levels of the psukim by the Balmum, and why we need four separate mentions of all Kohanim getting it, one by Mincha, one by Chatas, one by Asham, together with the overall halacha that a Balmum is Mikotchei HaKodashim Umin HaKodashim Yochal. And now we have a clear-cut picture of how to understand our Mishnah and the general rules in our Mishnah, and whether we should be medayik from those rules. So that brought us to the inyan of Abba Shaul, and Abba Shaul's chiddush that he needs to be tohar all the way through, or at least for both the Zrika and for the Haktoras HaImurim, because that's mentioned in the pasuk, whereas clearly the other Tanayim hold that the focus is on the Zrika and not on the Haktoras HaImurim, since that's not Ma'akev. All right, gentlemen, another wonderful day of Zvachim. I'm already starting to get nervous. How can we leave Zvachim behind? It's been so much fun. Richie is just, I mean, look at him. He's miserable. Even just thinking of the need to move on to B'Menachas, he hasn't had this much fun in 40 years. So, all right. Meanwhile, we can enjoy every moment. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful day and continued peace, if it's peace, and B'Surah Tovot. Until then.